The sermon this evening comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll also read the same passages from Revelation chapter 12 that we did this morning. It'll be Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2 first, and then I'll flip back to Revelation 12. First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. Pray with me. Our God, bless us now as we pursue you in your word, that you would be most glorified in our lives. As we consider your testimonies, and as we adjust our steps accordingly, that we would proclaim you, knowing your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in His name that we pray. Amen. As we consider the Word of God, how do we look at this world and expect the system of this world to be overcome? We look at this world and we would long for something incredible to happen. We would long for a flood of angels to come in and clean up Washington, D.C. or clean up Hollywood. We would love to see things altered and see things changed. We would love to see people and our nation following God. And we look and we complain and we long and we pray. But as we look at the Scripture, what means do we see or what tools does God use to reform and to change the world? As we looked at Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him, that is Satan, the ruler of this world, because of the blood of the Lamb, that is the work that has been done in the crucifixion of Christ. And we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we look and we see that it is the testimony that Paul is bringing, this message of power, this message of Christ's crucifixion, that is the foundation of our faith. And here we see in Revelation chapter 12 that this is what conquers Satan, the blood of the Lamb. Christ crucified, and our having faith in Christ Jesus results in something. It results in a testimony being brought. Now you and I in this life, we are in the position where we are the church, as 1 Timothy 3:15 calls us the pillar and foundation of the truth. That is the keepers of reality, the keepers of the truth. So when we are in a situation where someone is speaking a lie about life and living, a lie about the reality of the world, it falls to the church to offer the testimony saying what is real, what is true. This is who we are. Now we speak this reality to our lives and our own hearts because our hearts are liars. Our own hearts will lie to us continually. In the midst of our marriages and in our homes, our spouses' hearts will lie to them. Our children's hearts will lie to them. Our parents' hearts will lie to them. But we have a culture out there that's based upon lies. And they run after and they pursue the lies that Satan has announced, and they do so running to their own destruction. Now, as we look at this passage here, Paul says something striking in verse 3. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. As we follow Paul, as Paul followed Christ, think of Christ. When was he ever in weakness and in fear and in much trembling? I think when he stood up and he shouted the woes. Woe to you, Jerusalem. Woe to you, scribes. Woe to you, Pharisees. You hypocrites. Those who would pursue a righteousness based on works. And then he called out to them. They said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long have I longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. Weeping and trembling for the salvation of God's people. Paul comes in weakness, not boasting, not strong, not proud, not puffed up, but bringing a message of Christ crucified. He says, with much trembling, in weakness, have you found yourself there? I confess, I run from that place. I run from that place. When I was first saved and I was looking around and the world was being redefined for me, and the people, many of the people that I thought were Christians because they went to church, we start talking about the scripture and the gospel, and I started realizing, all these people that I thought were Christians, I'm afraid that they're not. They don't actually believe this stuff. They're not actually willing to live this stuff. And my mind started going and I started thinking about the realities of hell. And there was a teacher when I was in high school that I loved. There weren't many, but there was one that I loved. She took a special interest in me. She took special care for me. She had special concern. And I remember the ways that she engaged me on an intellectual level. And I started thinking back, and I had always assumed that she was a Christian. And then I started realizing the things that she told me didn't line up with Scripture. They encouraged me. They built me up. They directed me. But she had died of cancer. And somehow, as I stood in a pew one night, the image of her in hell bombarded me. I imagined her in the outer darkness, in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, in eternal fire forever. And I stood in a pew and I trembled. Why would Paul tremble? Why would he weep? Why would he stand before them in much weakness? Because he would not have anybody's faith be based upon his intellect. He wouldn't have anybody's faith, him being the foundation, lest he stumbled at some point, and then their faith being shipwrecked. But he looked with true fear, and he looked with true concern, and he brought a true testimony that was based on Jesus Christ crucified and the power of God for salvation. We do not come and we do not give ourselves as the foundation for anyone's salvation, but we come and we give Christ Jesus and Him crucified as the message to the world that people would truly, truly be saved, truly trusting in Christ. Now, this morning we ended with our fifth step, come knowing Jesus Christ. We come having this relationship with Him. Now we broaden it as we look at verse 2. And this is the sixth step. Come knowing Jesus Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, what does this bring to us? What is the burden that this brings? Or how does this inform us, Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Well, this shows us a great deal. It shows us a great deal about the character of God and a great deal about the character of Christ that we would know both of them. Why was Jesus crucified? Jesus was crucified because God is completely just. God is completely just. His justice is perfect. His wrath against sin is perfect. This informs us as we are dealing with people, and as we are dealing with people specifically who are rejecting Christ. We come with weakness and fear and trembling for these people, because God's perfect wrath will be poured out. It will be poured out upon the sons of disobedience who will not recognize Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ and Him crucified shows us and displays this. The cross is that perfect picture of wrath. This also informs us about Jesus Christ. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are put into this category of those who are perfectly loved. We want that. We want that. There are times in our lives where that is what we chase, to feel perfectly loved. Many of us come to marriage hoping, expecting to feel perfectly loved. We chase relationships wanting to feel perfectly loved. Some of us join sports teams and we want to feel perfectly loved. We join other organizations, we want to feel perfectly loved. We join a congregation, we want to feel perfectly loved. And we never do. It never lasts. It doesn't continue. People fall short. Organizations fall short. Congregations will fall short. But we look here and we see the greatest love is expressed by Christ Jesus. You who are in Christ, you want to be perfectly loved? You already are. You already are. You want your spouse to treat you a certain way so you feel perfectly loved? You're not going to get there. It's not going to happen. No other person, no human being is going to be able to fill the eternity that's been placed in your heart. Only Christ Jesus. So we come knowing Christ crucified, understanding what perfect love is, and this perfect love motivates us. We love because He first loved us. And that perfect love looks like obedience. So knowing Christ crucified looks like understanding God's perfect justice, looks like understanding perfect love that has been displayed. It also looks like understanding Christ being strong and courageous. It's exciting to think about the commands that God gives us. He gives us these commands to teach us to be like Him. He said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So think about this in terms of God speaking to Joshua, Joshua 1:9, speaking to the church in other places when He says, be strong and courageous. Where do we see that played out? We see that played out when Christ set His face towards Jerusalem. We see that played out when He was being arrested in the garden, where at His whim He could have called 10 legions of angels to rescue Him. But He was strong and He was courageous. We all want a hero, don't we? Don't we all look for one champion or another? We look for a champion that would reflect us. If you're a musician, you look for a great musician. If you're an athlete, you look for a great athlete. If you're a preacher, you look for a great preacher. If you're a physicist, you look for a great physicist. You look for people to admire and to rejoice in. Christ is that person to admire and to rejoice in, having fulfilled all righteousness, being perfectly strong, and being perfectly courageous. Come knowing Jesus Christ crucified also looks like seeing and understanding judgment satisfied. Understanding what we owe and knowing that that debt has been paid. Our transgressions have been covered. Isaiah 53:5, He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him. Have you meditated on He was pierced through for our transgressions? I don't know what it is that's making me get weaker and more squeamish. I don't know if it's just age or lack of exposure, but it used to be when I gave blood, I would just go ahead and watch. I would enjoy watching that needle go in. I would enjoy watching the blood fill the line, and I would just marvel at that situation. Wow, look at this. The last time I tried that, I felt a weird feeling in my belly. Something's changing in me. I didn't enjoy it at all anymore. Pierce through. There have been a number of times where I've had puncture wounds. There's a special pain to a puncture wound, different than a cut. Pierce through. Christ, pierce through for your transgressions. The crushed for our iniquities. Can you understand crushed? Can you understand crushed? This is coming, knowing Jesus Christ crucified. Our next step, number 7. Describe what God's testimony means to you. Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you describe what Jesus Christ crucified means to you? If I grabbed you and I took you into one of the back classrooms and said, tell me what this means to you. Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Could you tell me? There have been times where we interviewed people for the Lord's Supper and family members came and were visiting and we had to take them and interview them. And when I asked them, would you like to be interviewed in order to have communion? And they said yes. I thought, oh no. I was terrified and fearful that we were going to take them into that back room and their testimony would not be an accurate representation of understanding and knowing the gospel. Are you ready to explain the gospel as it applies to you? There was a time when a Hindu friend of mine, I had taken my Hindu friend, who, it's a long story, I had taken her to church, and one day her father asked me, he said, Micah, since our daughter has gone with you to worship, would you come with us to our worship? I struggled. I really, really struggled with going. And I prayed and prayed and prayed about whether or not I should go to this Hindu temple. And eventually I came to the conclusion that if I was going there and I was going to proclaim Christ there, I should go. And I went and I proclaimed Christ there. And then when we were on the way home, I was praying for the opportunity to speak more about the gospel to my friend's father. And I said, amen, in my mind. And he said, Micah, would you enlighten us some more about Christianity? Opportunity. Are you ready? Are you ready to talk about Christ crucified? Will you do it? See, we describe what His testimony, or we describe our own testimony. We describe what He has done for us. Some of us, it's going to be a bit easier than others. Some of us remember being in the dominion of darkness. Some of us remember having our hearts crushed and being given new ones into our chest. And we remember coming forth with rejoicing and with praise, with new attitudes and with new hearts. Some of us, it's not so easy. I know I remember one of my son's conversions. I remember him going from a little grumpy guy to a guy who was rejoicing in the Lord, but he probably won't remember that. So how do the rest of us who don't remember the transition, how do the rest of us speak about it? Well, the rest of us have to look at Scripture, see the reality of where we would be apart from Christ, and rejoice in the reality of where we are. We can explain what God is doing. You can explain the place where He has put you now. You can explain the rejoicing, prayerfully, that you do cultivate, being called sons and daughters of the Most High because of what Christ has done. And you can explain what you look forward to because of what Christ has done, because of the crucifixion. We are to be that people who overcome Satan because of the blood of the Lamb and because of our testimony. And this comes as we testify and as we know Jesus Christ crucified. I'm going to turn you on to James 2:10 as you consider your testimonies. James 2:10 says, anyone who has stumbled in one matter of the law is guilty of all. Consider this as you would testify. Especially those of you who don't remember having been in the dominion of darkness. You can say, I'm guilty of the whole law. You can run through the Ten Commandments and say, because of these things, I deserve the full wrath of God. But because of what Christ has done, I have been delivered. Our next step, number 8. Tell people what Christ means to individuals. Tell people what Christ means to individuals. So as there are people that you talk to, what difference can Jesus Christ crucified make in their lives and in their eternity? This is a message of good news that you have, the testimony that you would bring to see other people saved and see them trusting in Christ. You have the opportunity to invite people to call on Him. Romans 10:13. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. See, this is the application of 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You have the opportunity to explain true love in the terms that I explained it to you from John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You can speak to those people who are lost. You can speak to those people who are hurting. You can speak to the eternal void that is in their heart and offer Christ Jesus to them. If they will call on Him, if they will trust in Him, their eternity is satisfied. This is your opportunity. This is your work. And as we looked at in Peter 2:9, this is a large portion of the reason why you were saved. To proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. As you deal with a people who are always looking to be filled and to be satisfied, I remind you of Matthew 28:18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, or look, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's a story, I think I read it in one of Burkhoff's books, and it was when World War II was erupting and there were riots in the street, and a man is walking down the street and he sees someone else coming towards him with a strong, quiet confidence as he's coming along. And he looked at the guy, and while everything else is going crazy around him, he saw this man walk by and there was just this air around him and the way he carried himself, and said, and I wanted to follow him. And as he walked by, he turned over his shoulder to look at the man. And the man turned over his shoulder and looked at him. And they stopped. And they approached each other while everything else was going crazy. And the man looked at the other and asked, what is man's chief end? And the man responded, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The man placed a finger in his chest and he said, I knew you were a shorter catechism kind of guy. That there was an understanding of what we have been called to, an understanding of who we are. There will be an error about us when we understand Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When we understand salvation in Christ, when we understand what He has done, when we understand what this will mean to us, and when we understand what it means to us, we will want to give it to other people. It won't be something that we just have in our prayer closet. It won't be something that we just talk about briefly in Sunday school and even more briefly in our fellowship time. It won't be something that just kind of comes up at prayer meeting. But it will be that blessing and that gift that deserves trembling and awe. And we will remember, freely we have received and freely we are to give. This is the reality of eternity. It is the reason that the earth still has people on it. That God would see all people, all nations, all tongues, all tribes, all families, calling on the name of God and bringing salvation and praise into the great assembly. As you. Rely on the blood of the Lamb, and as you bring your testimony. Now, it doesn't end there with what God has done only for the individual. The gospel comes with more authority and more power and will accomplish even more than that. This is our ninth step, to describe what God's testimony means to families. Describe what God's testimonies mean to families. Malachi 4:6. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children. Do you see the mess around us? Do you see the mess around us? As we deal with children who aren't even sure who their fathers are. As we deal with fathers who don't love their children. Fathers who do not provide for them. He will restore the hearts of fathers to their children. In the hearts of children to their fathers. This is a message and a testimony that we can bring. That God heals, that God reconciles, that He fixes broken homes. And prayerfully, before they're ever even broken. And the hearts of children to their fathers. God says, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Acts 2:39. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. Now, we shouldn't look at this and just claim these verses as if they're a magic charm because we say them that they are going to be in our households. But the expectation is for fathers, and we'll speak to them first, that God would do such a change in their own hearts that would make them warm and affectionate and caring, the kind of people who lay down their lives for their wives, that children would see and say, if he loves my mom that much, I can love him and listen to him. We wouldn't look and see that children will say, oh, now God is going to save my dad as I use this magic charm, but we would see the change in our own hearts, that fathers would look at children, if fathers don't know the Lord, and say, I want what they have. Children who honor their father and their mother with a deep affection and serve and worship the Lord and live lives above reproach because they understand and they know Jesus Christ. They understand and they know He has been crucified. So a father with a changed heart drawing a child with a changed heart drawing the father, changed spirits, the power of God. And this was the heart of Paul's testimony, the power of God coming. And number 10, announce what Jesus Christ crucified means for the nations. What do we want to see? What do you want to see from our country? We have had a nation governed at the whim of the people. Whatever the mob says is the authority, is the authority. What if, and I will say by some miracle, the nation began to call on Christ? What if individuals, the mass of individuals, actually knew Jesus Christ. And let's just boil it down to the 273 souls that live in the community of Eastvale. What if the people here loved Christ and knew Him, knew Jesus Christ, Him crucified? And then it came time for elections in Eastvale. Who would they choose? Would it be just a matter then of choosing the lesser of the two evil options in Eastvale? Or would it be that finally someone would stand up and calls on the name of Christ and would wish to see Jesus Christ glorified in the community of Eastvale? This is the same reality and the same picture that we should be looking forward to and striving for in Pennsylvania, in the nation, and in the world. But where will it happen? It will happen as you. You, the pillar and foundation of the truth, the keepers and the announcers of reality. You, the holy nation, the royal priesthood, proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We talked this morning at the picture of us saying, "But complaining is all I have left." No. The blood of the Lamb is what you have. The testimony of His power is all you have left. Bring it with fear and trembling and weeping, because there is no other answer for humanity. Proclaim Jesus Christ. Proclaim Him crucified. And see the power of Satan in this world overcome by the blood of the Lamb and even by your testimony. Pray with me. Our God, You do great things, and we marvel at the great things that You have done. Bless us with wisdom and grace and power that we will proclaim Your Son, Jesus Christ, crucified, and that in each of our lives we will see people converted as they hear Your word, as You convict them by Your Spirit, and as people call on You and give You your praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.